This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit mensteeclinic.com.
All right, guys. Amarillo High School volleyball coach Corey Clements announced her resignation after one season. So she'd been there for one season, and she said, nah, you know what? I'm done with this. Now, she graduated from, Amarillo. Amarillo High in 06, and she had a national championship at University of Nebraska.
Dude, those Amarillo teams have been juggernauts. They've won state title on top of state title on top of state title in volleyball.
Yeah,
I've seen those.
Her coach, Jan Barker, was a Hall of Fame coach, and she retired in 17, and so she took over. Her first season, she went 33-14 with the Lady Sandies. Hey, aren't the Sandies, isn't that the name of the minor league team in Amarillo?
The
Sand Dogs or something like that?
Didn't we go through that
recently? Anyway, they went 33-14, lost in the regional semifinal round. Now, she released a statement about issues between her and administration, not kind of getting the support that she wanted regarding playing time and her decisions on playing time. Listen, Kevin, you and I we've covered high school sports. We have kids that play, at the lower level, but I'm sure there are parents that are like, my kid's not playing enough. Well, is your kid good enough?
Yeah,
it's always the question. But everybody thinks their kid can be good enough if given the opportunity. Well, here's the statement from Clements. For a variety of reasons, I've recently resigned from my position, effective at the end of my contract. I want to be clear. I have not violated any district or UIL standards, have upheld the teacher code of ethics at all times. As I've contemplated this decision over the past several days, I've been overwhelmed with the outpouring of support from current, former players, parents, as well as my professional peers. I'm thankful for the success we've experienced and positive relationship we developed. As a coach, playing time decisions are always difficult. Unfortunately, upon making these decisions in the best interest of team success, I was not supported by athletic campus or district administration. I was told by campus administration that I needed to recognize the political aspect of my job and also of theirs. I cannot and will not compromise the integrity of my decision based on parents' political pressure or position. I believe strongly in the value of athletics, that being a part of a team is a privilege, and playing time is earned.
Okay, so that doesn't surprise me at all. It should, but it doesn't. And here's the reason. Is as soon as you sent this link, I thought of three stories instantaneously that I witnessed.
Really?
That kind of had to do with this. So I'll leave the name of the team out, but if you know enough about Metroplex-based high school athletics, you can probably figure it out. Would you like to start with volleyball, girls soccer, football?
Let's start with volleyball because they're so closely connected here.
So I had a parent seek me out at a volleyball tournament and sat next to me while I was covering a match, at which point she started lobbying complaints about the coach. And she said that the coach, I kid you not, gives preferential treatment to certain players because the coach is a lesbian and it's based on which players she's attracted to.
Whoa.
Okay.
And I just kind of sat there and I was like, so-and-so is a lesbian? And she goes, yes, of course. And like, she just couldn't believe that I didn't know that. And I thought, I don't really like follow the ins and outs or lack thereof of the personal life of the coaches that we cover. And so she made that, she doubled down on that assertion. And she goes, you ever notice the reason why our team is not so good is because we have nothing but pretty girls in there? And I was like, again, I have never wondered, thought, or anything like that. And so, like, that's a pretty huge accusation right there. Is first of all, that you're outing that coach. And second of all, that you're saying that she's jeopardizing her job and her freedom because she's attracted to kids. Like, that's a
huge
bombshell.
Yeah, absolutely.
And so,
and that's political pressure right there too.
Oh yeah.
You know, that's I'm sure that message was discussed with one of the athletic directors there too, and they probably were like, "What are you doing right now? What are you like? Can you imagine? Because most of the athletic directors at these schools are one like the head coach of the football team.
Yes.
Generally, that's how the situation typically is. And they're sitting there going, I just hired this person, and you're bringing something like this to me? That's ridiculous.
I thought this was the most outrageous thing, is a school in the Metroplex opened up, and the year that they opened, the girls' soccer team won the state championship. The next year, they won the state championship. The next year, they won the state championship. The next year, they lost in the regional finals.
I think I know which team this is.
I think you might. And their coach was gone. Now, she got another job, and it was a perfectly fine job. From everybody I talked to, it was not her decision to leave. And the reason was people didn't like the way that she set up her playing time. And I was like, well, that's preposterous. She won 3 state titles. I give a crap what you think about how she distributes the playing time. Guess what? It works. So they couldn't get rid of her every year when they were winning state titles as a brand new program. The second they didn't win a state title, they still made it to the regional finals, which is the last 8. They fired her for lack of a better. People were really careful about, well, you know, blah, blah, blah. She got fired.
Mm.
And it's ridiculous because of that. Now we go to football. There was word that a Metroplex school had cut a deal with somebody's family. And I've got pretty good confirmation on this, except when it came time to do a story, then everyone's like, I don't want to be associated with this story. I had multiple people.
Did you do it off record?
Yeah, I had multiple people tell me that that's what it was. Is that family was thinking about transferring, or that family had pretty good influence in the city and with other potential players who may or may not want to be on the team. So they cut a deal so that kid could be the quarterback. And he was the quarterback as a senior. But it was woefully apparent during non-district that there was another person that was far more suited to take the job.
Mm-hmm.
But no, they had cut the deal. And that's when people started telling me, you know about the deal, right? And I was like, what does that mean?
Oh.
And so then they started telling me about it. And then finally, that team, which is really good at football, they lost a non-district game. So in the bye week, I was like, I guarantee you they're going to switch quarterbacks. And they did switch quarterbacks. And that other kid went back to playing another position at which he got to be a starter. And I thought he was pretty good at the other position, just not maybe suited to necessarily be the quarterback. But it was kind of a scandal, because there was no doubt that you were holding back a player that was better suited for that position because of a deal that had been cut in the offseason because of the power that that family wielded.
From the 830, y'all might be too far removed from high school, but coming from someone that's just 22 and experienced this in my school, yes, the prettiest girls always started on the girls' softball team. The coaches were middle-aged men, same with the girls' volleyball and basketball. So high schools do recruit football players, and they do find ways to compensate families a lot, and it happens every season.
And oh, yeah. Do you want another story about that?
Sure.
There may or may not be a player right now that there were all kinds of rumors going around who could be in the NBA right now. That word is that their schooling was being paid for, but really what mattered is their housing was being paid for by this school, so they would go to their school. Once again, multiple people were like, oh, yeah, that's totally where it is. Here's the city where he lives. Here's the address. But I could never get anybody and any...
How's he doing in the NBA right now, by the way?
Pretty good, actually.
Okay, actually.
Pretty good. And so I could never get anybody on the record for this. But yes, that was the word, is that his schooling was being paid... Or not his schooling. His housing was being paid for by these people so he would make his way to that school. And they just so happened to definitely reap the benefits of
okay.
that.
All right. Well, here's the question then. If you're a parent, are you pressuring a high school coach to play your kid. I mean, because, Kevin, that guy's in the NBA. There might be other players that have gone on to do other great things because their parent was like, look, you need to play my kid. Every parent wants to give their kid the best opportunity to get those opportunities, because if they don't get the opportunities, they won't play. Now, unless they're the top athletes, right? Like some of them, like Amari Cooper, he was going to get opportunities. He didn't have a parent pushing for him. His mom was too busy working three other jobs,
right,
while he was, you know, working with somebody else. He eventually had a coach that pushed Nick Saban to get him. You know, he went and took him to Nick Saban and said, watch this kid. But, I mean, is that part of your job as a parent, is to pursue these coaches and say, hey, give my kid the opportunity to get out there?
I think parents do view it as that. And for the record, they don't stop at the parents. Because maybe not. There used to be a prominent Metroplex media member who wrote a scathing email to me because they interpreted that I had trashed their kid in an article. I wrote an article, and it was a basketball playoff game, and it was like the most lopsided basketball playoff game I've ever seen. And it was like a 50-point margin of victory. And so they started cycling in like every player. And I said the only drama down the stretch was if every single one of this team's players could score. And I said the last one who hadn't scored was so-and-so. But I immediately followed that up by saying, because they had been running the point for a bunch of the game. And I said, because they kept distributing for easy baskets all night long and led the team with X number of assists.
Mm-hmm.
And then there was even a quote from the coach who said, that's the great thing about this player. She's not out for her own glory. Whatever she can do to make the team win. And so by no means was I calling her out.
What media member has a daughter?
But...
Wow,
you're okay. On the trail now. And so that person shot me an email the next day and blasted me and said, because of you, this is going to impact our ability to get her a scholarship.
Really?
I was like, are you kidding me?
Because some sports writer wrote something good about somebody.
Yes.
I had my cousin was a pretty talented quarterback, so much so that his wide receivers wrote on the footballs, warning, must wear gloves to catch, because the kid had a hot arm. And I went and watched him play. I was in middle school when he was in high school. And he was fantastic, man. It was a blast to watch my cousin play. And I could tell at that age that he was going to be something. And Notre Dame came in. A couple of other big-time schools, University of Texas came through. A couple of other big-time schools came through and talked to the head coach and said, hey, we've been hearing about this kid. We want to see some film on him. And he said, that kid's a troublemaker.
Oh, yeah.
My son is the backup quarterback. And but this kid's a troublemaker. You want a leader. And my son has been one of the guys that's been a leader on this team the entire time. And that's why they've been splitting time all season. So my cousin ended up going, you know, he played some college football and probably should have, you know, had opportunities elsewhere. He ended up going to a college where when he walked on the campus, everybody was high the day at the first practice. And he was like, what decision did I just make? I have to spend a year here and none of these guys are committed to football. And so his career kind of fluttered. And the other kid never did anything anyway. But all these coaches, because they have I had a coach tell me, I can decide if you go to college or not.
Yes.
He told me that. And the power these guys have, and then there are parents leaning on these people, and based on how the parents and their situations go, it's terrible how much of an impact they make on young people's lives, and because they are adults that have their own crap going on in their worlds.
I guarantee you I could find 50 programs in the Metroplex in which a parent is really the leader of that program. Well, leader in the loosest term, decision maker. For that program, I can instantaneously tell you basketball programs, football programs, where it happens across the Metroplex. And that exact scenario that you described happened not that many years ago with a very prominent, very well-known for winning state championship high school football program here in the Metroplex, where the coach's kid had to be the quarterback, even though people agreed that maybe he's not the best quarterback for the job.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.